This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So, Jack Johnson there. Uma and Ezra here on the Evening Edition.
And it is fun to share.
Yes, it is fun to share because that's what we're talking about in this next story. Because an outdoor mini library in downtown KL has become a bit of a reading haven for many families, specifically low-income families, and for a lot of the curious tourists who are walking in the area.
Yeah, I am very, very excited about this little space. I've seen many things like it before. Ezra, I don't know if you've, when traveling overseas, especially in many countries in Europe and the United States, it's not necessarily a library as such, but it'll have these little installations that look like birdhouses almost. Mm. And you take a book and you can read it and you can put it back or you can swap it with another book. And it's based on a little trust system, but it's to allow everyone, or I guess it's to enable everyone to be able to read. It doesn't matter whether you can afford books or not, right?
Yeah.
And in our country, especially, I mean, I don't know if you've been to a bookshop recently, but those prices have gone up quite a lot because of the exchange rate situation.
Right.
And, you know, books are anything between 40 and 150 ringgit these days, which is a lot.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept because when you think about sustainable development and, you know, this whole approach of creating inclusive spaces for all, including, I guess, the least privileged members of society, this is something that I would imagine local councils like DBKL and the like would be really, really excited about.
Yeah, no, I can't see why not, because we're constantly looking, you know, we had the World Urban Forum here
a couple of weeks ago,
right? Yeah. And we're constantly looking at ways and means to make our city more livable and lovable. And I'm not just talking about, you know, lighting up the Klang River and putting on a light show, but, you know, actually creating spaces that the people who use the city can actually utilize.
Yeah.
And this is one of the spaces.
Yeah, and just even the notion of how mobile these spaces can be, right? So, you know, when you think about just the traditional idea of libraries and such, about how people have to go to these specific fixed locations, these sort of installations can actually pop up, at any point in time. It can be a little bit more fluid, and, you know, people can get excited about the buzz of, you know, getting their communities gathered there.
And this is something that libraries, for example, the actual libraries, have been doing for many, many years, even in Malaysia. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember many years ago, I spoke to Raman, who is the owner of Silverfish Books, and he was telling me a story of how the National Library in Malaysia, back in the day, used to have a KTM service where there would be a trunk of books that would travel along the route
brilliant.
And then pit stop at different railway stations where people can pinjam buku because they may not have a well-stocked library in their own town or city. So if you lived in Taipei or Ipoh or somewhere like that, the train would come by.
Just wait for that KTM train to come by.
Exactly, and then you swap out your books.
All right. Well, we're crossing over now to Datin Noraida Saluddin, Vice President of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. Datin Noraida, thank you for being with us on the Evening Edition. And maybe you can talk to us about why the Malaysian Institute of Planners decided to create this pop-up reading space.
Actually, the whole thing is about World Urban Forum that ended earlier, the last 2 weeks. And part of it is putting up a demonstration project under the Medan Pasar activity, which means turning places that are not parked into park. But for Malaysian Institute of Planners, we decided to take this particular space because it was really underutilized. And we thought we want to go into activating the space because it's like a negative space. Nobody comes into the area, and the area is well known for homeless and all that. We thought, let's do something that is a bit more informal, where children can be attracted to come to the area. Sometimes working mothers who pass by with children after school, so there's this space that they can stop over. And that's how it came about. It was really an experimental exercise, actually. The agreement was for World Urban Forum, it was just temporary. And that's why we have at the space sort of boards where people are encouraged to put their opinion there, whether the space should remain and what can be further improved. really, it was just an experimental exercise, hoping that eventually we'll get to do it permanently with DBKL.
Okay, so what would be the steps to turning a temporary initiative like this one into a permanent setup?
What we have to do next is to put in a paper, a proposal for DBKL, and we are using all this interaction that has happened within the area now, all the sticky notes that people put on the boards about what they feel about it, as a means to help us justify why the space should be made permanent. And what was interesting is the communal reading space. The conversation with, especially, for example, homeless people around the area, they feel that it's more welcoming. And there were also views and conversation with the less privileged children who said that they like the space because it's open. You don't have to go to library. Because for underprivileged kids, going to library is probably it's too official, it's too formal, it's not welcoming. And spaces like these, they like it better. Lah. And the idea of a communal reading space, open spaces, is a lot friendlier.
Right, right. And do you think this might be, I guess, the future of how libraries might look like? I mean, moving away from what we were talking about, the formality of these hushed aisles of books to a more vibrant and open space.
Yeah, I think this is one of the ways. We've seen many cities attempt to do this. I've been to Christchurch, where people just put up a simple structure and anybody can just put a book or books in there. And people can just take it, bring it back, or if they have extra books, they put it back. It's sort of encouraging these shared activities. In Auckland, I've seen an example where the local authority themselves put this sort of informal reading space in public parks, using, for example, a container. So it appeals to the younger generation. And to me, it's interesting to get feedback when underprivileged children and mothers who came said that they like it because they have never been to a library. They don't have the opportunity or they were scared to go to a library. I think if we can do this, it'll help also this reading habit. And we've got groups of people who want to approach us and want to do a reading corner. Storytelling session there.
That's right, because, you know, we've seen a number of initiatives for urban renewal in the city, but this seems like one of the more inexpensive ways to convert an idle space into something that can be accessed by all members of the public. It's not just about beautifying the city.
Yeah, I think sometimes we tend to do things the expensive way, but there are also a simple approach to activating spaces. Don't have to be costly, don't have to be expensive. Sometimes it's just the idea of converting, for example, what was demonstrated in World Urban Forum through the idea of converting one parking bay into a small park. Those are simple, simple solutions. Of course, we have the big parks and all that, and they are great in terms of what the activities that have been provided. But if we look at the smaller parks, they need a bit more activation in terms of more activities that are appealing to the users. So MIP would like to see more of this initiative, to see a lot more parks being activated, maybe the neighborhood park or a corner area. Those are making sort of what we call it in planning term, place making. It's not just creating the space, but making it a place. We would like to have more placemaking initiatives.
No, absolutely. I understand that. Dato' Norida, thank you very much for weighing in. That was Dato' Norida Saluddin, Vice President of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. They were involved in putting that particular installation in the city. And of course, she was talking to us about some of their initiatives to create shared spaces within the city. And I think it's a great idea.
I'm all for that. I think there are a lot of underutilized spaces in and around KL City, and you don't need much space as well, right? It's an inexpensive way. And you know what? You don't have to wait for someone like the Malaysian Institute of Planners, like an establishment, to do this. You can actually do it within your own community as well.
Yeah. And I guess I was, when I was, you know, talking to Dr. Norida about the getting DBKL on board with the idea, I almost feel that in the way in which we've always been structured, getting permission, getting permits, getting everything,
correct,
that it sometimes prohibits people from taking up that initiative to try something interesting. So what if there were other 10 other ideas that were coming across the Klang Valley? Do all of them need to be run by the city council? Or should the city council play a more... what's the word I'm looking for? More
passive role.
But more encouraging at the same time,
I
guess.
To be fair, I think in initiatives like this, I think DBKL will be quite open to it. There are also other avenues you can approach people like Think City, for example,
right,
that Khazana initiative. And they're really happy to help out and even provide funding when it comes to these sorts of things. I mean, to be fair, I think if it's something like this that benefits the community, I think DBKL will welcome it with open arms. It's only if you're protesting in Dataram Merdeka that they have a problem with.
This might be true. Don't forget, it's not my fault.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.